Amen. Good morning and happy Easter to each one of you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We have been blessed this morning already. Pardon me. We've been blessed this morning already by Brother Ken Potter and the Batcave Volunteer Pipe Band, by folks like Mary Yeager Gale and Talia Davis. I saw Olivia here earlier from the park as well. We're so grateful for all you have done to prepare for this time. And then without this particular worshiping crowd, it wouldn't be the same either. And you all did a lot to prepare for this time as well. Even as all the rest of us get up early in the morning, it's a reminder that you had to do the same, and you had to wind your way up the same roads and come here to this special place. And in this way, it's a reminder to us that we, as human beings in bodies and with histories and memories, we're the ones who need a special place and a special time like this to remind us of the grand, glorious occasion that is a true fact, no matter where we are and no matter what year it is, that once again we mark and remember that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We have a couple of things that are slightly different this morning. We've had some folks ill, and so I'm grateful for other members of the team picking up. You know, some few differences. We will just sing the chorus of Because He Lives. Also, Brother Alex Havner, sadly, and the folks there at Chimney Rock Baptist Church had a death in their church late last night, so I'll be filling in for his scripture reading. But thankfully, we're all here and ready to go and ready to focus our hearts, not just on those things, but on the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned. So let us bow in prayer, and then we'll begin with the chorus of Because He Lives. Our God, I ask at this moment that we would calm and quiet our hearts. There's hardly a person here who does not have many things that already they've had to think of or attend to, some small stresses, some large. And yet we've done it for this moment, for this opportunity to worship early and fresh in the day, just as if we were going before the sunrise to the tomb like the faithful women who found it empty. And so, Lord, I pray that we will see you and cherish you, treasure you with the eyes of our heart today, that these songs, that these words would lift you up, and that we would participate together in the worship of the living Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Sing that again right here.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Here's Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen as He said. Come, see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and and to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And when Jesus came, he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." Amen. Let's sing together, "Jesus Paid It All." You may be seated. All right. I've been waiting a whole year to make that joke again. And see, Sunday by Sunday, I get to see my beloved congregation, who I love so much to death. I love them dearly. And yet, to get into a different situation often helps a preacher as well, because now I look and I see new faces, and I feel this sense of love and appreciation for what I get to do to open God's word to you. And it reminds me that that is like a little eyedropper full of the kind of love that God has for each and every one of you, knowing you in a way that no human being, in fact, ever could. Even the person standing beside you who drove up here with you today, far less a preacher who may not have ever learned your name before. So let's keep that in mind as we get to think for a moment about God's word together. Let's bow, commit ourselves in prayer, and then take a few minutes in Matthew 28. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So stories shape who we are and what we do. Even the employees here, I'm sure, could tell us the story of Chimney Rock State Park, how it came to be, what's gone on all these many years. Several of us on this stage are able to tell stories, we were this morning, of times gone by when this service has gone on and different snafus or issues, things that have gone on. Last year, by the way, it was colder. It was drizzly. This year is perfect. And in this way, each and every story is caught up into the master story, the story of all stories, the story that actually defines each and every other story as well. As we even come to this place, we've got the moon just about to disappear over that side, the sunrise coming up over this side. One of the reasons we are here is because we want to think about the Creator. We want our hearts naturally lifted up above and beyond any mere man or woman. And in this way, Matthew 28, the way that he tells the story actually reminds us of the very same thing. Even the way, of course, that those events took place. What did we see here? Before dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and there was a great earthquake. So here, the ordinary world is sort of ripped open with a new event that is true, it's actual in space and time and history. A journalist would have been able to do all the proper interviews and have the proper documentation of what happened on this morning, and yet it's something we never could have guessed if it had not taken place. It reminds me in this way of the way that our superhero stories always have that moment, right, where the average people of Gotham City can hardly imagine that anyone has this extraordinary power. And part of the reason, part of what's going on there is if that person accepts on that day or in that moment that Superman or Mr. Incredible or whoever it might be actually has that power, they also have to accept that they live in quite a different kind of world than they might have thought. And when we see an empty tomb, when we see another Messiah who in this case was once again killed and we would think his followers to be scattered, but he gets back up on the third day and takes his life back to himself, we find that we live in quite a different world than we might otherwise have thought. Greek mythology, of course, has many stories about Hercules. You may remember that early in all of his works that eventually make him a god on Olympus, though he was mortal, He begins actually by killing what is known as the Nemean lion. And then he wears this lion. If you're ever looking for him in art or sculpture, you're probably going to see the lion, even with its fangs and claws, coming around because he wears it like a jacket for the rest of his life. If you kill a lion, why not? And yet here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, quite entirely different. Not merely ascending to Olympus, but actually first having come down from heaven in great humility. And yet we still say that this is one more moment when he is adorned with his victory. The adornment that Jesus wants is not a sweet lion jacket. He wants men and women who love him, who are saved by his blood, who are his prize, his bride, bought by his precious blood in the atonement that he has made for us. In this way, you're the jacket today. You're the very glory that he wanted, that you would gather, that you would put in effort to worship this living Lord. We read from Galatians chapter 1 how it's the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. It says, through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Also the Spirit, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Although Jesus also says that he raises himself from the dead. In John 2:19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit raised Jesus our Savior from the dead. And in this way, If this is what happened in an actual event of history, it was for a purpose, to save me and show his glory. And in this way, it functions like a promise to those who love Christ. We even see this with the angels. Their presence, it says, their appearance is like lightning. Their clothing is white as snow. In this way, it's a little like if you've ever gone into a house or a building, someplace that truly amazed you. It might have been someone who had a special house that they had just recently constructed. It might have been a visit to a C-suite. And everything around it seemed impressive. Maybe even the person you were there to see had not yet walked in the door, but already the artwork and the furnishings had shown how great this particular place or person might be. Well, if these are the messengers, which is what angelos literally means, if the messengers of God come with clothing like lightning and white as snow, then what must his throne room be like? Even there, when at the beginning of the gospel story, Zechariah had an announcement from Gabriel. Gabriel did not point to himself, but said simply, "I am Gabriel, who stands in God's presence." And so we're getting this picture of the greatest glory, even in the messengers, which provides us with great comfort. This announcement has a different character now because the veil has been torn and the throne room is open to us as well. I love the way here that we see the guards trembling. "For fear from the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" Those two events are obviously separate in time. And yet Matthew puts them right together as if to do this, as if to say, when they show up, those who were proud, those who thought they had God under their thumb, to them the angels are like, "Yeah, you all probably should be scared. You go trembling, yeah, that probably fits. But for you over here, you women who were coming to bring spices and myrrh, you who were coming to show honor and appreciation and love for Christ, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." Even those words, "who was crucified," remind us that they came expecting to love once again the Savior who had just been shamed. And they still came, and yet he was risen from the dead. They're going to receive the opposite. So when this kind of power is performed, those opposed to it faint, and those who seek it draw strength. Remember this morning, you don't have to fear the strong arm that you've been seeking. What's the outcome here? Well, worship and tell. Those are the main points here. He's not here. See the place where he lay. He's going before you to Galilee. When they run into him, right? Jesus says, "Greetings," and they fall down and worship him. The one thing that any Jew, man or woman, would not do was worship a human being. But this is precisely the point. Both the women immediately worship him. The disciples later worship him. It's because now, by the resurrection from the dead, they know that he is not any mere human being. The book of Romans opens in chapter 1, verse 4, saying that he was descended from David according to the flesh, as he needed to be, and yet vindicated as the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. And so we also have that requirement today to worship and tell. I've been teaching, actually, for some time now as well. And it was an interesting thing for me as time went on early in my career to switch to where more and more of my students did not experience the September 11th attacks. And yet, they know of it. And I said to him recently, your knowledge and your affirmation, your knowledge of the truth of the fact that those things took place, is it different than mine because I saw it? Then again, for me, it was the Challenger mission. I guess I'm dating myself right there. But I came to learn of the Challenger mission not by my direct report. And yet on and on it goes. And then I say, for most of us, actually, we share all the way down through our history books the exact same phenomenon of needing to come know a true thing by a pattern of faithful witness. And we all stand here today with a pattern of faithful witness that has brought this gospel to us. It is, in fact, even the yearly celebration of Easter, no doubt, that has helped to make sure that we got to hear it from someone else, who heard it from someone else, who heard it from someone else, who experienced its power and presence in our own life. So from the day of resurrection, the true story of the gospel must fill the world. That's what's happening here. Go and tell, go and tell. In fact, it was already happening, you may recall, at the cross. some wagged their heads and said, "Oh, if he's the Son of God, let him come down from there." And they are storying, if you will, what they think of that moment. And yet, on the other hand, you remember the thief on the cross? He rebukes the disrespectful thief. "You and I are receiving our just punishment, but he is innocent. Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom." So what is the story in your heart today that gives the meaning of the event to you? The oldest sourdough starter in our country, not the oldest sourdough starter in the world, is the San Francisco heirloom, which evidently goes by the name Bodie. Now, there might be a sourdough enthusiast who afterwards comes and corrects me and helps me out here. And there are evidently older ones in the world. And yet what I want you to do is to imagine for a moment this sourdough starter from the 1850s in San Francisco that has then torn off a bit, put into another lump, and then that has now gone on as this other piece of the heirloom, Bodie sourdough starter from San Francisco, and it's now spreading throughout the country, spreading throughout the world, sourdough enthusiasts getting their starter from here and there. It doesn't actually change in one sense, does it? The bacteria that alters the proteins and molecules of the bread is passed on with a true connection to its origin. And that is how the gospel got to you and me. Jesus Christ was born in accordance with the scriptures and all of God's prophecy. He fulfilled the Old Testament law, living an innocent and perfect life. He revealed the coming kingdom of God, his very own rule as the Messiah, in both his miracles and in his acts of mercy. He suffered and died to make atonement for my sin and yours. He rose from the dead to show that that suffering was a worthy and effective sacrifice and to show that even the grave and death was now under his heel, part of his dominion. He ascended to heaven where he sits enthroned, sovereignly directing, guarding, and guiding the church until he comes again to judge everything and put it all to rights. The very reason that he waits for his second coming in power is so that people like you and me can hear the good news, repent and believe. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. So would you come today? Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. To be saved is to be part of Christ's church. Let's see what these last few verses say about Christ's church. First, just worship is an external sign of internal faith. Right, we could say, well, how could we see that the women here had faith, that the disciples had faith? They worship Christ. And in this way, even in your own worship, you're giving this external sign of internal faith. And Jesus has all authority. He has all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This fact means that nothing is a mistake in your life. And nothing is a danger. It means you are not a mistake. Your past history and your life, the fact that God is sending you to be making disciples on purpose, not by accident. Have you ever thought that before? That it really should be someone else's job who had a better backstory, a better childhood, who knows the scriptures better, has a little bit more memorized? As you look out at the sunrise today and feel small, there's a right kind of humility that you can receive. And yet also, as you look into the Word today, you also need to have an overwhelming sense of joy of the kind of work that God has called each of us to. All authority on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we have a great commission. And last, Jesus is with you and cares about your work in his mission. In fact, I like to think about our English word goodbye. Like, it technically is what a linguist would call a corruption of God be with you. They just said, God be with you, God be with you. And eventually, of course, it shortens, it corrupts down to just goodbye. And every time we might even say goodbye, perhaps you'll think about this now a little more. Jesus says that he is with you always to the end of the age. It is interesting to say that Jesus actually, not only by rising from the dead, but by ascending to heaven, accomplishes this. Remember, he says, it is better that I go away, because if I go, I will send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you. So Christ will either be with you in this sense, the sense of peace and salvation until the end of the age, because you are his child, or if you remain in rebellion, he will meet you at the end of that road. In this sense, the great expression of authority in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is using his authority for your salvation, for your comfort, for your help. So won't you come to him today? Behold, he is with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Our God, we are thankful for this fact, this deed, this mighty action for our salvation that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. What could possibly overcome such power? What could possibly throw your people into true danger and into utter confusion when you have overcome death and defeated the grave? And yet we do come here today with a group this size and many cares and many sorrows and many trials. And I pray that today, with this moment on the mountain and with this moment in your word, we would approach them with a fresh perspective. And we would see how even the greatest pressure points of life are creating jewels and diamonds that will gleam and shine in your kingdom. So Lord, I pray also for someone here today who's perhaps not a believer in Christ, that today even might be the day where your Holy Spirit works to convict, to set free, and to give joy and freedom and forgiveness. And yet also, Lord, for the many here who are gathered, who are cherishing once again another year celebrating the glory of the resurrection, may it be that we are sped on our way, that we are confirmed in our faith, and that we are comforted and made more aware of your promise here. You are with us always until the end of the age. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
its breath till the stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had gone through the dead, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the church of Christ was born.
Sing one more song today. If y'all will join us in singing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone.
praise God that this kind of power is for me and for you. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. We see his love for us on Good Friday so that when we see resurrection power, we know that it is for us. We're going to close in prayer in just a moment. I'll ask you to join with me if you know the Lord's Prayer by heart, as we'll say that. Also, we've had a medical event over here, so as we disperse, let's make sure still to give the aisle and give space for whatever the team needs there, and we're thankful for those who are already assisting and helping out. So if you will, let's bow in prayer. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together. I'll close, and then we'll have a benediction before we pass it back over to the Batcave Volunteer Pipe Band. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom and the power, O Christ, who is risen from the dead. And God, even as we see a medical event here, we're praying, Lord, for this individual, for the medical team helping. We're thankful for them. We're praying for healing and help. And yet it reminds us also that each of us standing here is in health enough today to be here and go about our day as we planned and to stand for half an hour. And yet someday our body will fail and give out if you do not come quickly. And thank you that we have one who has gone into the grave, who has gone through death, who is resurrected from the grave, to whom we go. This is the kind of story, this truth of the resurrection, that can give hope beyond the grave, not just hope for the next day or the next week. And so, Lord, I just pray, even that as we leave here today, you will give us a deep sense of worship that we will carry with us from this moment. And also just a sense of joy with family here in nature, in creation, as we delight in the one who is our creator and in Christ, our Savior. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our benediction today is Jude, starting in 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, both now and forever. Amen. We'll be right back.